Welcome, Chrononauts, as we guide you through the experience of time travel using pop culture as our broken arm. We will be your constants. I am Dez.
I'm Ari.
And I'm Scott.
And this is Time Pop!
Wait, broken arm? I don't get that. Who had a broken arm?
He did. And the broken arm is why he found out that it was her story and not his.
Spoiler alert. Wasn't a broken wrist? Yes. True. Broken wrist, yeah. Hey, for this episode, can we, Desmond, especially you and I, can we have like our voices crack a little bit? Can we just go back to our teenage selves, our enthusiastic, romantic teenage versions of us for this teen bopper film?
I have no problem doing that.
I would love to see Desmond as a teenager.
Oh my God.
I can't even imagine like what you look like.
I picture like long hair, can of cheap beer.
And really skinny.
Skinny and like boxes of pizza in his apartment or wherever he's living.
I would love to see a picture of you, Des.
How are we doing so far?
Pretty good. I mean, this might have just been a given, but tons of weed. Tons of weed.
We didn't even get into that yet. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was shockingly skinny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the hunk of beef you see in front of you now.
Or you became the Hemsworth of the podcast generation.
I'm loving my lot. My hair's getting long though.
Yeah, it is. Wow.
I'm loving it.
You can braid that.
This is becoming personal stuff. Anyway, we should go to the movie. It's a teenage romance time travel film.
It's adorable. It's a time loop film.
It's a time loop film.
It is a time loop film.
Groundhog Day meets 16 Candles.
Oh,
meets the CW.
That's actually very good. I like that. I'm glad to hear. I wasn't sure what your guys' reaction was going to be, because when my first reaction was like, Kelly and I just finished it and we loved it, and Scott just cracked a little joke. I wasn't sure if that joke was like, oh, it is cute, or if he's just like, ugh. How do you like that schlockiness?
Look, off the top of the bat, it is a charming, adorable film, right? For people like us that love to go into the nuance and science of time travel and dig, what does it mean in alternate reality? It is not going to give us a lot of that.
No.
It's just a cute little, it's like a little break from what we do about trying to challenge the fabric of time and space to be like, oh, here's two teenagers in love stuck in a groundhog time loop. So yeah. It's cute.
I called it a low budget Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
And I like that they know you've seen Groundhog Day. Like, I like that the first scene is him on day 1000 just nailing everything. And we just get right into it. I was really bummed. I couldn't find anywhere, not even any guesses of how long they've been in this loop.
Yeah, they didn't reveal that.
Right. You're guessing it's a lot, right? They say all the things that they've done and how they learned that. You just got to assume.
At least in Groundhog Day, they kind of hinted how long he's been there, right?
Well, once the montages come, it's kind of hard to...
Well, it's mostly just people taking stabs because they're like, okay, he learned how to play the piano.
Yeah.
That's 5 years. He, you know, blah, blah, blah. And
the languages, yeah.
I think even Harold Ramis at one point said, I think this many days.
Yeah. So cool thing about this film is what you just said, it starts off and he's just going to his day. This is the story of a person. And then this time thing happens. And now you're seeing that. He's doing his thing. And that's unique, right? There's no origin. There's no explaining for a long time how or when this happened.
No catalyst. What started it? Just starts.
It's magic. But doesn't she say that she went home? Like when she found out her mom was going to die, she went home that night and said.
And wished.
Yeah.
That tomorrow would never come or something.
I think so.
Yes, that is what she said. If you were a fly on the wall when Ari and I were watching it, we're halfway through and we're both like, I hope they just explain why. I hope it's not just like she wished or it's like because it's romantic. I hope there's a reason. because she's into aerospace and stuff like that. And she's in science. So we're like, and I said to Ari specifically, I said, well, that's got to be for a reason. There's no reason. That's very important to the script. They really go over that. They drive it home. They could have had her be anybody. So that is going to come into play. And like, sort of, not really.
No, she wished for it to happen because she was sad.
And that's how you make time travel happen, folks.
Just got to get
really sad and you wish hard enough, times you'll be stuck in a loop.
Let's do it.
But they'd even in that, you could have one of those movies where like she sees a star and makes a wish, or like the power goes out and like a bunch of things connected in that moment, like at least universal. But no, she just wished. Most wishes don't come true, but this one did. I'm sorry to sound cynical. It's a cute relationship movie. We don't need to get scientific. No. But, you know, it's hard for us to let go of that part of our brain.
No, but you're right. Loop movies are always magic. Can you think of a Loop movie?
No, Edge of Tomorrow is not. Edge of Tomorrow is the alien.
Scientific.
You're right. They reference in this film as well.
Yeah, there's another one. They reference Edge of Tomorrow and something else.
Groundhog Day.
Triangle?
Yeah, there's three things they reference.
Do they reference it?
I actually read Triangle later, and I've never even heard of that. Like, I think we should be forced to watch it next just because they referenced
it's
it.
Horror, which we never heard.
It's horror?
Oh, yeah. Is it?
Who are you calling it horror?
By the way, since I've researched just like time loop, we could have done a podcast just on loop films.
Yeah.
There's a handful.
Like what?
There's 1201, which is like this made for TV Jonathan Silverman film about like reliving a day that was hell. There's The Girl Who Left Through Time. There's Triangle. There's like another 20 or 30 films. There's a bunch of Christmas ones. You could do a podcast on just Christmas looping films. There's like four or five.
Yeah. They do like every time travel list has a link on it that says, if you just want to see loop films, check here. Like there's always.
Yeah, there's like a Wikipedia page with all of them.
Loop films, meaning they repeat the same day over and over again, not the movie Looper.
Yeah.
Correct. Correct.
It says there's on Wikipedia a list of films featuring time loops.
Time loops, yeah.
Okay. 1201, Arc, Before I Fall, which is another high school senior repeating the same day, Boss Level, Camp Slaughter. There's so many Christmas films. Death, Doctor Strange, because it's got I'm on Edge of Tomorrow, The Final Girls Fair, Game Over, The Girl Who Left Through Time, Groundhog Day.
Liam Hemsworth is in Triangle?
Yeah.
Oh.
Desmond just got a man boner.
But it's the other Hemsworth. You're into the other Hemsworth, not that Hemsworth.
Aren't they all like twins or something?
Happy Death Day. Have you heard of that?
I've seen them both, baby.
Oh, The Infinite Man.
These are all loop movies?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mickey's Once Upon a Christmas. Mirror for Hero, Miss Peregrine.
I didn't realize there were so many.
Yeah.
But like loop movies.
Palm Springs.
There's not much you can. We saw Palm Springs, right? I've seen Palm Springs. Anyway.
See you yesterday. Source code. Let's move on.
When are we going to start our horror film Patreons, Scott?
Yeah, I'm ready.
You know what? Before we get to, now that we're already way too far into this, we watched The Map of Tiny Perfect Things, released in 2021, rated PG-13, 1 hour, 38 minutes. Mwah! I love it.
Desmond's happy.
You can watch it on Amazon and nowhere else. Starring Catherine Newton and Kyle Allen, who are the two cutest people on the planet.
Hello?
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 If you can hear this, it's not too late. I return to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel and pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
And Al Madrigal. I love Al Madrigal so much. He's always.
It's a weird role for him.
Hey, well,
which part was he?
The science teacher. The math teacher? Is he math or science?
Math.
Yeah.
I've never seen him before in my life.
He's a comedian.
He is an awesome comedian. He never plays roles any bigger than that. And he's always awesome.
He's aight.
No. And he's from San Francisco.
Yeah.
Oh, then he's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought the main actor, he was pretty good. He was funny. He's charming.
They were both good actors. It was well cast. It definitely was well cast. They're good actors. It was light and fluffy is what it was.
This movie was my tiny perfect thing of the holidays.
Wait, why does that get an applause?
I don't know. It's adorable.
If I had watched this movie the day before or the day after, I would have thought it was fine. I would have enjoyed talking about it. But like, it was Sunday night, the last day, like Will had already gone away. Cormac wasn't even in bed. Cormac was just in the back watching TV by himself. Cormac was wasted. So he was just fine watching YouTube all by himself. And like, I had a kind of a rough last couple of days of the holidays. Like it just, I don't know what. I think I was having weird like COVID PTSD because I haven't had my house full of people like this since shelter in place. And so I think like I was just going a little bit frantic. And so the house was mellow and I put this movie on, and that, you know, the whole story is about slowing down and looking at the little things. And oh, it just hit me perfect. I woke up and had a great Monday thanks to this movie, because I just took a deep breath and smelled the roses. And yeah, I just can't, like I said, any other time in my life, I would have just been like, ah, it's a good movie. But it really touched me at the moment that I saw it.
You needed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The montage where they start seeing the perfect things is kind of, it's not, it's uplifting. It's one of those cute little kind of month scenes that come up that make you feel optimistic about life. It's like the bag dancing in American Beauty.
Yeah. So the movie starts with Kyle Allen. That's the actor's name. His name is Mark in the movie. And he's just, like we said, he's just, this is day 1,000, 2,000, 10,000. We don't know. But he's just, he's saying things before his family says them. He's grabbing toast for his dad before his dad answers them. He's answering crossword puzzle questions. He's like fixing things as he's going across, as he's Marty McFlying across town. He's like handing out sticks of butter and keeping people from texting and driving, and giving directions before people ask for it, and making sure a woman.
He definitely was very wholesome. All the things that he did were like good things.
Yeah.
He didn't get into any like trouble. I mean, he was driving a tractor down the street, but he didn't like do anything reckless, really.
Yeah. Every day he would take a different tractor to the lottery store. That was just,
if you think about Groundhog Day, didn't he do like crazy things? Didn't he like,
once he gave up, he started just like, yeah, doing the craziest things he could do.
Once he was trying to kill himself, once he was hoping that death was the way out, which we see Mark try once. We see him, well, I mean, he doesn't actually hit the ground. So at exactly 12 o'clock, the magic happens. This isn't like Groundhog's Day where he stayed up as long as he could, because he never makes it all the way overnight. He always ends up falling asleep in Groundhog's Day, right? That we see.
I think once he said he made it like, he made it past 24 hours. Didn't he say he made it like 36 hours and then he fell asleep and it just restarted?
Oh.
No, I think once it's 12.
Not in Groundhog's Day. In Groundhog's Day, he definitely...
It's just when he goes to sleep?
Yeah.
Because at one time, the woman, Andie MacDowell, stays up with him. And at 12:01, she's like, why are you still here? He's like, well, it's not magic. I just go to sleep. And then I wake up and it's yesterday again.
Yeah, but in this movie, it was at the precise time.
Yeah, it's like it rewound. Oh, so that's the other thing. This... When I watch movies like this, my thought is always in the 10,000 timelines that continue on after he fucks them up. That's not what happens in this movie. At least that's not what they propose.
Because it rewinds?
Yeah.
It rewinds. That's not alternate realities. It's the same one that everyone's stuck in this day. And only when it continues on from that final one, that's the one that continues.
Right. Because, yeah, he talks a couple times about how it's selfish for them to stay in this loop because no one else can get on with their life either. And these two are just the only ones that are cognizant of it. But everybody is stuck in this loop, which I think is interesting.
Yeah.
Because in Groundhog's Day, I didn't get that idea. I got the idea that there was branches going all over the place.
Really? I feel like in Groundhog's Day, they did a better job of like what someone would actually do if they were stuck in that situation. Like they would try to drive as far as they can. I mean, the guy tried to get on a plane or, you know, but you would try to get out of it. You would try to fix it. And this guy was just happy to go about, you know.
Yeah, that was my, I said that to Ari, my issue with this, when he meets her and he's got someone else to talk to, there's just like kind of like this bullshit, like, oh, you're having this. What do you, and no point are they like, I would have immediately, let's figure this out. Why is this happening? How do we fix it? And like, they're just kind of bantering like about what they've been doing. Like there's not a, that's really significant. If you meet another human, there is, that is, that means something. Everyone else is repeating the day and two people are repeating this day out of the entire planet. That's really significant. And I would be like, huh, what did you do? What did you do on that day? Did you have something to do with this? I would be like asking so many questions. And
I think they do really do that. Like they don't stop the whole movie for it.
There's no urgency.
Not when they first meet. There is no urgency.
That's why I think they've been here for a long fucking time.
I get it.
I think this is just so their reality that they're just like, oh.
But if you're by yourself.
It's like meeting someone that graduated from your high school. You're just like, oh, yeah, go Gophers.
No, that's really significant. You've been by yourself repeating this. There's nothing to research. You're just like, I don't get it. And then there's another human that's going through this with you. That is not light. That's a huge deal. Yeah. And there's something significant about the two of you that you could figure out.
Yeah, I mean, it's a love story.
Yeah.
It's not a science fiction story. It's a love story. So
I like it. I like that it's just kind of like bumping into an old friend and not like, all right, everything stops. You and I are going to do calculus for the next 16 hours.
Well, I mean, there were some points where it made it seem like she was so reserved and so holding back that she like knew him or something had happened. And I think Scott had a prediction where it was like, oh, she probably knew him and they already dated and somehow it all reset again. He kept trying to make these like...
I wanted the film to have more, right? I was too... My brain is like, oh, I'm always trying to figure it out. And I just couldn't be like, oh, they're just going to meet and fall in love. It was like, oh, she's distant. She broke up with him right in the past. And that is, she did the time travel and she feels bad about it. So she's distancing herself. I'm like trying to solve the puzzle. Hey, folks at home, there's no puzzle.
Yeah, it is what it is. It's a meet cute and a love story and that's it.
Yeah. And I think she might, I mean, she's obviously reserved because I think she's a little reserved too, because she knows it's her fault. She caused the loop. So she's like, well, I'm glad I have this friend now, but he can't.
Yeah, but if I was her, wouldn't you have questions? If you know that you caused it and here's this other dude who's along for the ride, that was significant.
Did she know she caused it? Because she tries to like solve it, right? The map of all the little places. And then she hung the balls with the string.
That's from at the end. Map. That's when she realized.
And it made the square. And then it was the fourth dimension. And that was a whole pointless thing. And then, oh, this, we're supposed to have this one moment by the pool. Let's go have that moment where we kiss. And then I realized, well, it has nothing to do with this fourth dimension square I made from the map. It has to do with me letting go of my mom.
Yeah.
Well, she's saying the fourth dimension square is, they're saying love is the fourth dimension.
Is that what they're saying though?
Yes.
When, where, why?
They said it at one point when she figured out, she viewed the strings and it showed the cube and the fourth dimension in the middle. And the thing that completes it is the love for the dude.
So
and
I think,
and he even says a speech, like, doesn't he like where the fourth dimension is, she says that, or he says it. Someone has a speech about that.
Really? Really? The fourth dimension is love?
Yeah.
That's the message of the story?
I think that's what you're supposed to take from it.
Really?
How many, Ari, how many movies we have solved at least, I want to say more than three, but I might be, at least three of these movies have been solved with love.
Well, okay. Interstellar. Okay. There was an element of love, right? Yeah. There was,
that's like the beacon.
She talked about like, you know, I have no other reason to go and after this planet other than the band that I love is there. And
well, that's how he finds her. He finds his daughter because he's only drawn through time and space through love.
Yes. Like a, so I am not opposed to love being this unexplained, powerful.
The fourth dimension.
Element. Sure. If you want to call the fourth dimension love and not time, might have to be the fifth dimension is love. But I don't know. I didn't get that from this movie that's what they were saying. I also kind of tuned out the last.
That's how I took it.
20 minutes.
Because it was making that square and this completed it.
And to be fair, I don't think they needed to do everything. I think doing everything else led her to the one thing that needed to be done, because she needed somebody, because if she was not going to be able to move forward alone. So that's why he was
without him.
Well, without somebody. And so, yeah, since she knew the next day mom was going to be dead, that having someone else to hold on to moving forward was going to be the only way that she was going to survive.
Right. Yeah.
That was the cool moment, right? When he says he realizes, he's like, this is not my story. Like, he's just brought in as an accessory.
Now, does she, because everything gets weird when he, I'm sorry, I'm trying to think if I want to say a couple things about the movie before we work up to this point.
Oh, you want to finish the plot and then break down the science?
What science?
Okay, whatever. They're running around. They decide, and they kind of, the one gripe I have is they just, I'm fine with them being kind of coy with each other, or not coy, but just like, yeah, we're both stuck in this loop, whatever, let's go get a Slurpee. But they both agree with each other very quickly that finding all of the perfect moments will break the cycle. And that happened a little quickly for me in the movie. Just like there's these little things that
I don't think, no, when it's first brought up, they just do it as a way to like past the time, right? Isn't it later?
Yeah.
It's pretty quick that
he just says, look, why don't we do this? Why don't we just see like the beautiful moments? I don't think they think at first it's going to do that. Then she sees the map later on that he made. And then later on, she's sitting there and be like, oh, that map was significant.
No, it was before he made the map that they agreed that finding all of the moments would break the cycle. No, Ari's shaking her head.
I don't think it is, but I'm not 100% sure. I'm only like 98% sure.
All right. Well, I got to play in the background. So when we get there, we'll talk.
I like that they did the thing where they tried the Groundhog Day approach. Like, I'm going to be the better version of myself and do the perfect day. And they kind of do. And then it still doesn't do anything. Like, it doesn't change time.
Yeah. They try to do something nice.
That wasn't what was needed. So that was kind of neat. At least it wasn't one of those. We were saying to each other as we're watching it, we're like, I hope it's not just that they're supposed to kiss. And that's what makes time go on. And it's not really. I mean, I guess it is sort of. But it wasn't about that. It's her like letting go.
Of her mom.
Yeah. The kiss was like, it's not just like, oh, you're trapped in the day until you fall in love, you know?
So the whole movie, Mark thinks that it's another boy that's keeping Margaret at bay. Because she keeps on talking to Carl or
Jared.
She keeps talking to Jared. And then we find out at the end that Jared is his mom's doctor.
Right.
So they're just, they're going through, they're finding all these perfect things. So how they meet. So we're watching at the beginning, we're watching Mark do his loop over and over and over and over again. And there's another girl that he's trying to hook up with. And he keeps saving her from falling in the water at the swimming pool. And he keeps, for the most part, he's trying to catch this beach ball before it hits her or grab her hand before she falls in. And then one day, boom, Margaret shows up and catches the beach ball instead of him, and he realizes that she's never been there before. That's another thing that bugs me about these kind of movies. There's not enough little nuance in everybody's moment. Like, I don't believe everybody would act like a computer program and walk out of their door at 8:01 and 16 seconds every time.
I mean, it's the same day. Why would it be any different unless something was changed?
I mean, just think of that. I mean,
it's the same day,
but
it happened, and then it has to happen exactly the same day.
There's no other element that
doesn't.
Changed.
It doesn't though, because the butterfly effect. Unless he and she do the exact same fucking thing every day. If they go get a coffee one day and not the next, then
yes, it didn't go into any cause and effect. It's like a thing. Like whatever you do, doesn't matter. Yeah. They don't worry about ripples. They don't worry about.
But that's just I wish someone would make one of these movies where it's a little. Well, no, actually, what's the one?
Butterfly effect.
What's that?
Butterfly effect.
No, Ari, what's the one with the painfully long MTV music montage in the middle of it with the kids?
Oh,
who have the backpacks? It's like the second or.
Yeah. Oh, like one of the very first movies.
See You Yesterday? Yeah.
No.
Isn't it See You Yesterday?
No, the one with all the kids. That was just the two, the boy and the girl. The one where there's like five or six of them.
Oh, yeah.
And.
Paranormal, no.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about. I forget the name of it.
Because remember, he had the thing where he went in to a science tech quiz and the teachers like asked him, like, what's the weight of argon? And he answers it. And then the next day he walks in and says the weight of argon. He's just like, that's not what I was going to ask. Like, what's the weight of carbon? It's just like, fuck. So there is a movie where there's those slight variations.
It's a loop, or at least he travels back. It's not a loop, but he does travel back and things are different than how they were the first time he traveled back.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that movie did a good job of doing that. But I just feel like this movie was just for time travel. It was really light. Because there's another movie that came out, I think on Netflix around the same time, this Palm Springs movie. Did you guys see that movie?
I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, so I guess Scott and I just watched it. But at least that one, there was a little more to it. There were more people involved. And
it's still comedic, but there's a reason for it.
Yeah, the reason for the loop happening. And, you know, it's not a phenomenal movie, but it was very much like this. It's a loop, two people stuck in a loop, but there is more to it.
Well, good.
This one was just light.
Yeah.
This, I might have already said this already, this may be the worst time travel movie we've done.
In terms of just the time travel aspect?
Pure time travel. This honestly might be the bottom. Like, even the dumbest movies we've watched, some of the dumber ones actually have some of the crazier, cooler time travel.
Did you guys do Is It About Time, where he time travels by going into the closet?
Yeah, the guy that had the special powers that stepped into the closet, the genetic powers.
Yeah.
Was genetic in that one, or was it, why is he go in the closet then?
He just steps into the closet. I don't know.
Where do you keep your fucking time machine, Scott?
No, it wasn't time. It's just genetic. It's in the blood.
Oh, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, we did do that one. And that one.
That's a little bit dumb. And that one, I remember something significant to happen at the end, like a consequence. And there isn't. It just.
Yeah, it's
just about their relationship and their life story. Yeah,
that's a long story.
What was that one called? I just need a quick reminder.
Is It About Time?
I think it's About Time. There's definitely something about love stories, or there's something about time travel that is appealing.
We have not done About Time.
Where the guy has...
You and I saw it.
Oh, so I guess Scott and I just watched it, but we didn't do...
Yeah.
Weird.
I mean, if we did relationship loop movies, we'd have our own podcast. Maybe maybe every three films, we could be bust into a loop film.
We might have to, we might have to set up a little bit of a plan, do like a loop, a love, and a deep dive. Loop, love, deep dive.
And then like something abstract.
Yeah.
But yeah, this film was cute. The way that like, God, if you repeat something every day, those minute moments of like, they know everything that happens in that town in a day. And it's really, it was a beautiful moment when you see the map. It's well drawn. And he's pretty much, it's such a weird, we don't think about this concept, but to know in this town, everything that happened in every corner in that day is a really interesting concept.
Yeah.
It makes me think of the very ending of Groundhog Day, where he wakes up and it's the first day where he doesn't know what's going to happen. And I remember Desmond talking about there's an element of anxiety with that, where you've lived for thousands of years, thousands of repeats,
mm-hmm.
knowing every possible second and everything that's going to happen. Then all of a sudden you don't. It's a really interesting concept.
The first bad thing that happened on the planet, you just be like, fuck.
Interesting to think that mentally you have lived another year, 2 years, 5 years. But you've not gotten any older.
Yeah.
That you've got the mental wisdom of an older self without getting there physically.
That's great.
They drink like an old dude who's been stuck in the same place for a while. I mean, not heavily, but there's a couple times where I was like, why are they? Like, it's weird that they're drinking. But it's like, no, even if they're like 17 or 18, like I said, I think they've been there a while. I think for days lived, they're 25, 26.
The timing, like the choreography of the film was good, right? Like I know Ari pointed out, the opening is all like one shot.
Yeah.
Right, where he's walking down the street and then he's on the car.
There's a couple
following it and he goes off. And like the timing of all that, even all the shots where like they get the ice cream or they move them or push them, that's kind of fun.
He hasn't seen his mom in a decade. Every day starts with his mom getting in the car and driving away to a long day at work. And
that was a good scene where he ran out and hugged his mom.
Yeah. So did she do, so if this is her story and she is quote unquote in control of the loop, does she do anything when he crosses the international date line? Because shit changes at that moment.
What do you mean, does she do anything? No, he gets pulled back. The day resets. But
that's the day that his sister scores a goal. That's the day that his dad greets him differently.
She only scored a goal because he went to the game.
But what about his dad saying a different good morning to him?
No, it was the way he responded to his dad. He showed interest in his dad's day. He didn't care about his dad. He was always like, blah, blah, blah.
No.
He's like, Dad, what are you working on?
But his sister didn't call him a loser. There was no...
It's because they were reacting to something different.
He was treating them different that morning.
But for 3,000 days.
You don't know how many days it was. It could have been... We don't know how many loops it was. It could have been 60.
No.
Oh, wait. You're right. Wait. The dad, he inquired. But the sister, he did say to his sister, don't you want to call me a loser or whatever? And she's like, I don't feel like it today.
Well, because he had that heart-to-heart with her in her room.
That was the day before.
The day before that she didn't remember.
It's
that.
The reset. It's the first time he sees him, and it's the same.
Maybe he had addressed his dad better at that point, and that's why she's not being an ass to him. I don't think they're not supposed to suggest that anything changed.
But something did. Is because that
he was. That was when
it was right after the international dateline thing.
Well, no, that was right after he had talked to his sister about, and she's like, they had a good heart to heart. And she said for him to be a better person and think about others. That's when that happened after. That's why it almost seemed like, is this a new day? But I think that was just based on him being better that day. That's when that happened. It wasn't after International Dateline.
No, it's not. It's not. No, because he talks to his... I'm watching it right now. He talks to his sister. His sister says, you know what? You should show interest in other people. Then he talks to his math teacher. Then he goes to the International Dateline.
On the same day?
It's still after. Like...
Yeah.
Yeah. The only reason she scored a goal is because he went to the game. That was the first time he's gone to the game.
Butterfly effect. No one else. That dude gets shit on every day, no matter what happens in the town. But he goes to the soccer game and changes the outcome of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I hear what you're saying. Like, say by catching the beach ball, who that girl interacts with the rest of the day, that all changes.
But it's minor stuff.
That's minor. But yeah, you don't have enough time. You only have 24 hours. So you don't see the minor butterfly effects. There would be.
But everything, every time we do see something, it's a matter of centimeters.
Yeah.
And those, and it's fine. I'm fine with it being the same a lot. And like I said, I've already answered the own question because we've actually seen a movie where they do make those minor adjustments, you know, where the teacher's still giving a quiz, but that doesn't mean the question's going to be the same.
Do you want to try to finish the breakdown of the plot, or have we already done
that? I want to figure this out right now since we're...
And then, I mean, I know there's not much to say, but we do have Ari talk about...
See, okay, it's... Sorry, I'm watching in the background. It's the moment... The moment he hits the International Dateline, the fucking next morning,
okay,
he just gets up and goes downstairs, and his dad just says good morning to him differently for the first time. And
his dad says good morning the same way, but he asks his dad about what he's working on, right?
No, because he says, his dad says something. He goes, "Huh? Like that's what I haven't heard that yet, heard those words yet." And then he looks at his sister, and his sister doesn't call him a loser. And then he shows interest in his dad.
Huh. It doesn't make sense.
But just the simple fact that he went to the International Dateline immediately gives him a variation in his morning. So
it doesn't make sense for the rest of the film, but if you're watching it now, and that's, I remembered it differently, but it was a whole 2 days ago. And which is already ancient in my
continuity
memory.
Continuity error.
Yeah.
Okay. So his dad doesn't say anything different. He's just doesn't give a shit. He's just like, ugh. He's just looking at his sister being like, okay, now it's her cue to call me a loser. And she doesn't.
His sister is nice to him before he asks the dad more about his day?
Yeah.
Because he's heartbroken that morning. He probably seems different.
That might be true. He had a kind of a sad look on his face. He wasn't cocky.
He was probably, acting different than usual. And so it changed how everybody...
Yeah, I mean, there's just no reason. If they did do it, it doesn't build to anything. It has no significance if that was the case.
Yeah. I mean, if he had been super nice, if he had just come down the stair, just been like, I love you guys, then obviously she's not going to jump on the loser line. But the fact that he just stumbles downstairs the same way he always has.
No, but it's not the same way he always has, because this time he's like heartbroken.
Yeah.
She left him in the airplane. And so he's really sad. So he's definitely not coming down the stairs the same way. Which will affect how everyone interacts with you.
He came down suicidal before that, and she called him a loser.
True.
Okay. Anyways, the biggest reason I'm bringing this up, I'm really harping on the wrong point. What I'm just saying is that if Margaret is the center of the story, he has a lot of impact in it. They kind of seem to be showing that he's, it might be her story, but it's his force that's going to release her from the spell.
Right. Well, we're seeing it from his perspective for most of it. And then he realizes he was really just brought in as the ingredient in this recipe that she needed.
Yeah.
And for her to have that opportunity, he needed to be not frozen in time like her.
So he, he's just like, well, shit. This is my life. He kind of decides to have a different day. He decides to really like hone in on the perfect things. And not only does he watch them, but he's like cheering for the guy on the piano and hugging the lady who's kicking ass at spades and killing it in math class. And he decides to do the stairs on the skateboard, and he breaks his arm and has to go to the hospital. And that's where he finds Margaret saying goodbye to her mother. And he realizes that Jared is the doctor, her mother is dying. And this is where, like we said, this is where he realizes that it's her story. She's the one that needs to move forward. And he's just a pawn in her little game. But then at the same time, she's realizing that these tiny perfect things are extremely important. And the last missing tiny perfect thing is a loving kiss from Prince Mark.
I mean, if we didn't explain it to the audience enough yet, when they're getting to know each other in the world, they're trying to figure out something to do with their time. They see like a beautiful moment. They say, oh, like, you know, your life, you're kind of sleepwalking, but you have these few moments that make you realize how precious and beautiful life is. And so they decide to collect them and they wander around the city looking for like collecting perfect moments. And later on, he's an aspiring artist. She sees that he made a map of all the little different moments and at what time and what part of their town. And then later in the movie, she realizes that that map he created is like significant to the key. She matches that up to a drawing she had made as a kid about the fourth dimension. And using her smarts by accessing those points, it spells out how to access the fourth dimension. And she realizes the last moment through that mathematically.
Geometrically.
I don't think there was any math involved.
Well, geometrically.
Yeah.
Which is...
I mean, yes, that is a form of math, but if you want to get specific,
geometry.
It was geometry.
Yeah.
I mean, why we say geometry, I'm sure you've seen the movie, is because it was a cube inside of a cube to represent the fourth dimension.
It was a tesseract.
Tesseract, yeah.
That was a tesseract.
So bringing, just her being into like wanting to be an astronaut, being so knowledgeable about that and bringing in the fourth dimension and then just not delivering on that.
Yeah.
I guess they're delivering on it that it's love, but I thought that was going to be hugely significant.
Yeah.
She conducted some experiments. She found out something.
She is like a science mind, you know? Yeah. She like started to solve it scientifically with the grid. And it was just like nothing came from it. It's just, you are sad and you needed to fall in love. The end.
Just to apologize to the listeners, I took no notes for this movie. And I think that's one of the reasons I enjoyed it so much as well. Because
I sat and watched it
and I didn't miss anything. Because even when I'm doing the right thing and taking notes, that's making me miss other things. And I just sat and in true Desmond fashion, I then played it in the background three more times through Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah, it's nice to take a break from, you know, time and space being torn apart. I looked up the Wikipedia, as I always do, in the notes that I like to find fun facts about the film. It's pretty minimal. There's not a lot of information. Yeah, I'll look it up now. It says the plot, and that's about it. There's
rating.
There's really, they don't even say how much the movie made because it went right to Prime. Yeah, it just says a very short plot. For production, it just says that like it was shot in Fairhope and Mobile, Alabama. The producer, it's nothing. And then it goes into like the Rotten Tomatoes score and stuff. There's minimal info here. It's based on a book, and the guy who wrote the book directed it. Some were displeased with the film's familiar plot.
Aww. What? Love?
They said most of the attention, they said praise aimed at Newton's performance at the female lead.
They both were good.
Yeah.
They were both awesome. So.
That's the movie.
Ari, do you want to break down the science for everybody?
No, because there is no science. The end.
And there's no real social obligation. I mean, like I said, if
there's no ethics for
yeah, if everyone's stuck in this loop, then yeah, you can run around and stab everybody if you want and just start over the next day.
Right. They take the positive side, right? Some douchebag might have been like, I'm gonna kill people because I can, because there's nothing's gonna happen to me. And you know, they then go there rather try to make the world better. Ethically, once she knows he exists. And it's her fault. She's just keeping this guy in this eternal prison of a day. There's some ethics there. It's a little bit messed up.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why she's distancing herself. But like, if that was me, even if it was my mother, I'm not going to trap another human in this day because of me and my dying parent.
Well, I mean, she wasn't knowingly. It's not like she had her finger on the button.
I know, but once she knew.
Figured it out.
She's trying to just distance from him. And it's like, you guys are the only ones trapped in this together. Wouldn't you want to figure out what's his significance? Speaking too realistic, I get it.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. Ethically. If there's only one other person, obviously there's a reason. Yeah, I don't. So if you're, I guess, just standard time loop questions, like.
What would you do?
Yeah. What do you master? Where you got 16 hours a day.
Uh-huh.
What do you master? Where do you go? Yeah.
I would get more fluent in Italian. I'd become pretty good on piano and guitar. Breakdancing. Anyone else?
What day
Okay, you don't get to go back in time and pick a great day. We're going forward in time. 2022. You have to pick now. You can't just say this is the day on the day. What day are you picking to Groundhog Day this year?
Like pick a date on a calendar?
Yeah. You can mark it on the calendar and that day.
My birthday.
That's a good call.
I don't think so. Every day getting up and going to that fucking party. Every fucking day.
Seeing your loved ones.
And if you...
Here's my next question. Do I know it's coming? Like I've planned ahead and I know that this day is going to be repeated?
I guess the way I worded it, yes, you do. So you do, you can pack your suitcase.
Yeah, I don't know of any other significant thing I could think of in this year that I would plan for.
Super Bowl Sunday.
That's what you would do?
No.
He gets to sit on a couch, he snacks, and he watches football. Why would he not? That's what I want to be.
But it would be the same game. You would know how it ends after the first time.
I don't think so. See, that's what I would want to find out.
Well, you're not affecting the game if you're just watching on your TV. You wouldn't make any different.
I don't believe that's true.
Why would it differ? Why would the same day differ?
The day happened.
No other stimuli changed it. If you don't interact with it, if you're just sitting at your home watching the TV each time, if you were at the game, then I might buy it.
But you go through the day. The day happens. The day ends. You go to bed. You wake up and it's the beginning of that same exact
thing. No other factor is changing except you. And if you're just on your TV, you're not affecting those other people.
All I have to do, I don't even have to go to the game. I just have to get in an airport where other people are trying to get to the gate to get to the game.
Sure, yes. And then you can talk about the butterfly effect.
I could call an Uber. I could call an Uber and then when he gets here, say, never mind. That Uber might have been meant for someone who was going to the airport who wanted to get to the game. And now that seat's empty and it fucks up the whole vacuum in the stadium.
Yes. The more action you take, the more ripple.
But no, I wouldn't pick a significant day at all. I would not want a day where I had a major obligation. Cause even though it doesn't.
Oh yeah. Cause then you're not free to do, like, if it's your birthday and you have friends meeting you for dinner, you can't just take off and try to like drive as far as you can or go hang gliding. You have to
learn Italian.
Yeah.
Cause my assumption would be that I'm creating new timelines and that everyone I fuck over and like bail on for dinner, I now have to like, now my other self that's stuck in that timeline now has to repair all those friendships.
That's funny. I would never think of it that way. When you're repeating the same day, it's not like your time, you're not making branches. You're just going back to the beginning before branches start. There's no.
But it's only rewinding for you. If you're conscious and it's rewinding only for you and you're conscious, that means everyone else is getting on with their existence.
That reminds me of Arc. Like, is it happening in a bubble or is it happening all over in the whole universe?
Ooh.
It's interesting. That's interesting what you're bringing up. Yeah. Is it that just them trapped in the loop and the world goes on? Or is all time is one thing and that whole world is not moving forward? That's really interesting. This doesn't get brought up a lot in loop films.
Yeah.
The one film that this kind of concept got brought up in, which I've seen with Ari, which is a short film. What's it called? The Time Box?
1 Minute Time Machine.
1 Minute Time Machine. You have seen that, right, Des?
I think you said it to me once. I don't remember it, but I think I did hit play on it.
Wait, it's a big timeline comedy.
It's not a loop.
Punchline. It's not a loop though, right? It's, yeah. He has a box and he keeps trying to hit on this girl and he fails. So he keeps trying again. And at the end, she says, you know what? This is really the most romantic thing. And he's like, why? She's like, well, all these realities you've made, you've died each time that you've changed, you've turned the timeline. And it just shows all these alternate timelines where he just collapses after and dies and she's left with it.
It's very funny.
It's never been covered in any of the major time travel films, but this little 10-minute short totally covers it.
That's rad. You know, the other one that's good, we could do an episode on the Robert Downey Jr. Volvo commercial. I know I sent it to you guys. Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. You think a whole episode could be done on that?
Well, between that and the 1 Minute Time Machine, and there's probably one or two other shorts.
We could do La Jetée, which is the French short that 12 Monkeys is based on.
That's true. La Jetée and Friends. But that's the same thing, isn't it? Or no, we kind of covered it a little bit. I think when we did 12 Monkeys, I think I watched it.
Yeah. destroyed. It's like, in fact, remember, it's all, the whole thing is like taken in, like the whole film is just images and photographs and like narration.
Yeah. God, I did watch that. That was French as fuck.
French as fuck. That's our new Oh my God, that's our new podcast. French as fuck. We review French films. We're like, I don't know what's going on. Two ignorant Americans doing foreign films.
This movie is French as fuck.
That's catchy. Faf.
It's French AF.
Yeah.
Ceci est l'histoire d'un homme marqué par une image d'enfance. La scène qui le troubla par sa violence et dont il ne devait comprendre que beaucoup plus tard la signification eut lieu sur la grande jetée d'Orly quelques années avant le début de la Troisième Guerre mondiale.
Until next time, I'm Desmond McNeese.
I'm Ariel Glass.
And I'm Scott Lifton. You've been time popped.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
Bless you.